You're listening to The Lead, a podcast where we learn how to get ahead in the media industry from the people that did. I'm Daniel Funke. Today on the show, we're live from the Online News Association Conference in Denver, Colorado, where journalists from all over the world gather to discuss the intersection of technology and journalism. But first, a word from our sponsor. This podcast was created by the Cox Institute for Journalism Innovation, Management, and Leadership as part of its Innovation Fellowship Program. To learn more, go to grady.uga.edu/Cox Institute. Today on the show, we have Julie Westfall, Deputy Politics Editor at the Los Angeles Times. I met Julie this summer when I interned at the LA Times as a web intern. She was heading up the real-time news desk, but recently was promoted to the politics team, which, as we all know, is one of the most interesting jobs during this season. So here's our conversation. Hi, Julie. How's it going?
Hi. Really well. How are you?
Great. So we're both here at ONA, and you participated in a session about failure in newsrooms and kind of what you can learn from that. So how did that session go, and what examples did you use to structure the conversation?
Well, there were, three other people on the panel, and they all, gave examples of, project and product failures, either like entire startups that, went awry, or, one example was a messenger bot project that just didn't get an audience. But I decided to talk about, my challenges in building teams, because I built several breaking and trending news teams, some within legacy organizations, some not, and talked about, what happens when you have a staffer on a team that isn't, that turns out to not be a great fit, and how that can be a challenge, and, where I've went awry with that in the past.
Very cool. So it sounds like it was a successful panel. I'm sorry I couldn't go. So we both worked at the LA Times this summer. You were the real-time news editor. And to me, it seemed like a lot happened, from like the Orlando shooting and the Turkey coup to the election and Brexit. So what were some of the ways the Times used real-time and socially driven news to really tell those stories? And on the other side, how did you balance that workload since so much happened?
Yeah, good question. It was a big summer of news, which, everyone always says the summer is calm, but it just never is. Everyone says this is going to happen, and it just like always causes the opposite effect. We've done a lot in the last couple of years since I got to the Times to figure out more efficient ways to tell those stories, more dynamic ways to tell those kinds of breaking news stories, more meaningful ways to tell those stories. And one of the main ways, one of the biggest ways that we've changed how we tell big breaking news stories is that we now have a live updates platform, which we built ourselves. And so it is our proprietary system, and we have all the archives, and we have a developer dedicated to it, and he is able to make changes, we've been iterating on it for 2 years, and he really has built it from the ground up, and it's a really good example of in newsroom development, because all the people in the newsroom got to contribute ideas to it, they got to make requests. We had a very open product development process, and I think it also showed the newsroom what product development in a newsroom can be, and also what's possible technically, and how really good technical solutions can make your work so much better, both just when you're doing it and for the audience. So the live updates platform during the summer of such big news, we use it on, I think, every single one of those stories. And when we first built it, my team, the real-time news team at the time, was basically the one running those blogs. At first, the tool wasn't quite easy enough for other people to use, and then we made it easier to use, and we taught basically the entire newsroom all the best practices around it, retaught them as they evolved, as we added new features to the tool that made them different. For instance, we used to only have, one URL that went to the entire blog, and now every single post on the live blog is its own URL, and so that sort of changed the best practices. But now, every subject area desk, like the foreign desk, is able to run the tool themselves, start it, dedicate people to it that know how to use it, because almost everyone knows how to use it because it's so easy to use. And so whereas in the past, the real-time desk would have been responsible for all of that coverage in real time, now that falls to the subject area desk who really have that expertise. And they sometimes get help from our centralized digital desk, like the hub, as we call it. But for the most part, they're directing that coverage, which I think is actually the real success of that platform.
Definitely. So in addition to the live blog, I know this summer you guys all launched Snap, which is an in-house CMS. So something that was impressed upon me about the platform is just the ease of use. So I'm interested to see how this new CMS has made it easier to tell stories, especially like in a breaking environment when you don't have a lot of time to deal with a clunky content management system.
Yeah, so Snap is our story editor, which means that we use it to just build all of our standard stories, and actually sprung from the live blog. So the live blog was built with this beautiful UX, a really great editor, and it let you, move different pieces of stories around really easily. So, for example, if you would have a chunk of text and then maybe a tweet and another chunk of text and maybe a picture, and you can move all those pieces around in whatever order you wanted to really easily by dragging and dropping. It was just, a very beautiful space for editors to work in, and they really loved that. So Snap was based off of that UX, and we also added a bunch of other features that you need outside of a live updates platform, which are pretty extensive when we're talking about articles. Because they just have more parts. But in terms of breaking news, Snap makes breaking news easier because we added features like once you post a story, it's live on the internet. And in the past, if you wanted to add to a story, which is frequent in breaking news, you just had to basically save it live. And then get it read by your editor or by the copy desk, or you could send a new draft through email and it could be copied and pasted from various places, but the workflow is very clunky. And one of the features that we built into Snap was that you could save an article in sort of a middle space. So it was live on the internet, the first version, but when you made a second version, you could just save it sort of in this draft space. It could be read, the new stuff read and edited completely and then made live. And that was a huge change from the clunky workflow and made all that kind of reporting a lot faster. Another thing is a feature that we stole from the live blog for Snap, which is just building your story in parts. So we made it really easy to add tweets and photos and videos and to put those tweets and photos and videos in different places in the story and move them around really easily. And that's really important for breaking news because those stories are changing all the time, and you want to be able to move stuff around easily. But in the past, it was, a huge, copy and paste job. Sometimes you had to do the work all over again. And now you can just kind of a lot more easily move stuff around and update as needed.
Definitely. So now you've moved from real-time news editor to deputy politics editor. So I'm interested to see how that transition came about and how it's been so far since it's pretty new.
Yeah, sure. So, the real-time news desk was conceived to complete a mission basically of spurring some change in the newsroom, speeding up our breaking news reporting, coming up with new product ideas, and we did basically all of that. We certainly could have continued done some more things, but I felt like we accomplished most of what we set out to do. And so the reporters who had been assigned to the real-time desk, had specific beat passions. One actually was sent to the politics desk. Another wanted to be a cops reporter. Actually, two were sent to the politics desk. Another one wanted to be a cops reporter. There's some others. So they were sent, to take their breaking news skills and, the other new skills that they had learned on the real-time desk and bring it to those desks. I wanted to explore, assignment editing on a specific topic because real-time is obviously general news, and I've been doing that for a long time, and I really love it. But you don't necessarily get the chance to, dive deep into a subject when you're doing that, and so I wanted to try that with politics, and it's obviously a great time to be in political news right now. And I also think that the specific type of politics news that I'm assigned to, which is California and congressional news, that's really important public affairs reporting, it doesn't always necessarily, you know, get through to readers in the way that, it, you know, we might be able to get it through to readers and sort of thinking about how to, you know, tell the stories of why the bill that the governor signed on climate change is really important to your life, and to tell out that story in different formats and to try to make it really relevant to a broader audience. I was really interested in that challenge, so working on that now.
Definitely. That actually leads me to my next question, since I think we're in the midst of such an unprecedented, you know, presidential election cycle. How do you get people to care about local politics when all anyone can think about is Trump or Clinton?
Yeah, it's a really big challenge, and I've only been doing it, you know, for a couple of months since the convention, less than a couple of months, I think. So I'm just, like, starting to dig into, you know, playing with different formats, making sure that when we, you know, write a headline that's about the news of the governor signing the bill about the climate change legislation, that as much as possible, you know, it's not about him signing the bill, but about what impact that's going to have. And then doing things like we experimented with an issue tracker. So the California legislative session just wrapped up. And at the end of the California legislative session is just like a flurry of activity. And they're, you know, trying to get done with a bunch of bills. And so just a ton of stuff is getting done. And so we do not have the ability to track every single bill, nor do we have the ability to do that in a way that's relevant to most users. So instead, what we did is we picked the top 10 issues that we felt like the legislator was dealing with. In the last couple of weeks of the session, we just tracked those issues. One of them was like sex crimes, because there were several bills relating to sex crimes. Another one was a gambling bill. They're trying to make internet poker legal. You know, obviously eight other ones. Climate change was one of them. And we just sort of broke them down and said, here's the issue. Here are the bills that relate to it and what they would do. And here's the political backstory of this and, you know, where it stands now. Chunked it up into those sections, put it all together, updated them as that they change as they move through the legislative process, and just tried to connect with people on those issues in that way, just to make it a little bit more easy to consume, a little easier to understand the issues that the legislature is dealing with, not just the bills, but how that actually impact your life. And we did it in a sort of special format online, and we actually printed it all on a whole page of the newspaper. So it was truly multi-platform. And it's just an experiment we tried to see how we could synthesize those issues and make it more relevant to people.
Very cool. And just to wrap things up, I'm a senior at the University of Georgia, and a lot of people I know, especially in journalism, are interested in going into covering politics, whether it be on the national or local level. So what advice would you have for these soon-to-be graduates or just, you know, recently graduated people who are looking to break into that side of reporting, and how important are digital skills in that conversation?
I mean, obviously, I'm going to say the digital skills are very important, you know, I mean, in all areas of reporting, but especially political reporting. I think one of the most important skills going forward is going to be along the lines of what we've been talking about, which is how do you make this relevant to people's lives? People criticize horse race coverage a lot on the national level, but I actually think there's a reason for horse race coverage, and it's because it connects with people. And so if you can find a way to actually, like, connect with people in a way that the horse race coverage does, or to combine, you know, horse race coverage with, you know, the impact of, you know, what's going to actually happen at the end of that horse race, that, you know, that could be a powerful thing. But the most important thing is to, like, figure out how to be relevant to people's lives. And so that's always, always, always telling them, you know, what the impact on their life is going to be, or, you know, what, like, the actual relevance of Hillary Clinton having pneumonia is, and how that could have an impact, you know, on the election going forward, and on, you know, her time in office after the election. And another really important skill to have, which is not exactly digital, but really helps people stand out in digital spaces, especially in political news, which is really crowded, is being an authority. So if you're an authority on a topic, especially a policy topic, which can be, some of them can, you know, be written about in not terribly engaging ways, that's a leg up in making it more relevant to people. Because if you're an authority on climate change, it's just going to be a lot easier for you to explain that issue in really common terms. Tell people, you know, what the impact is going to be, as opposed to just like what the policy is, what the bill is.
Thanks so much, Julie.
Thank you.
Julie Westfall is Deputy Politics Editor at the Los Angeles Times. Thank you for listening to The Lead. Today's episode is produced by Daniel Funke with special help from Keith Herndon, director of the Cox Institute at the University of Georgia. For more interviews with media leaders, go to soundcloud.com/theleadpodcast or find us on Twitter @theleadpodcast.